ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The death toll rising in Morocco after a 6.8 magnitude earthquake hit overnight, centered in the High Atlas Mountains. More than 1,000 people confirmed dead so far. Reports of heavy damage to buildings in the historic city of Marrakesh. ABC's Lama Hassan has more from the Foreign Desk in London.
Now the urgent rescue effort underway as they desperately search for survivors, with the reports of families still trapped in buildings. The hospitals overwhelmed and overflowing with the injured. Officials are pleading with people to donate blood.
At the G20 summit in India, President Biden offering condolences to victims of the earthquake in Morocco and pledged U.S. aid. He's meeting on the sidelines today with world leaders, talking about ways to tackle climate change and invest in developing countries like Africa. Extreme heat still gripping much of the country, along with volatile storms that swept across Pennsylvania, New York, and New England. Another round of storms expected through the weekend. This is ABC News. The Florida Supreme Court heard arguments Friday on the 15-week abortion ban. The outcome could trigger a more restrictive law in the state.
The fate of abortion rights in Florida are once again at stake. On Friday, the state Supreme Court heard oral arguments from abortion advocates like Planned Parenthood, the American Civil Liberties Union, and others who are challenging the state's existing law. They say that a clause in Florida's Constitution covers a right to the procedure. Currently, most abortions after 15 weeks are illegal. If the Supreme Court affirms the current law, an even more restrictive 6-week ban, supported by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, will take effect 30 days after. Brittany Shepard, ABC News, Washington.
In Germany, the Invictus Games underway. Britain's Prince Harry arrived in Dusseldorf. He founded the competition for wounded service members and veterans. Some 500 athletes from 21 countries are there, including 24 former and current Ukrainian service members. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different. You probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A group of U.S. House Republicans wants $4 billion in cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency in exchange for their votes against a government shutdown later this month. Environmentalists say that would jeopardize efforts to eliminate PFAS pollution. Mark Richardson reports.
Betsy Sutherland, a former EPA staffer who worked on water issues, says this isn't the time to play politics with cleaning up the environment.
Budget cuts will have real consequences for EPA's ability to protect human health and the environment, not just from PFAS, but from every environmental threat our country is facing.
These chemicals are among the most persistent toxic compounds in existence, contaminating everything from drinking water to food, packaging, and personal care products, and they never break down in the environment. Neighboring Michigan has among the highest rates in the country. A bill in the House Appropriations Committee, which funds the EPA, proposes cutting the agency's budget by more than one-third in fiscal year 2024. Sutherland says if the measure is approved, EPA funding would plummet to levels unseen in three decades.
The cuts are incredibly short-sighted. 2 weeks ago, EPA released PFAS monitoring data for 2,000 drinking water systems that show multiple PFAS chemicals are in the drinking water of over 26 million people.
John Reeder with the Environmental Working Group says most PFAS emanate from the air emissions of industrial plants. He says the group's federal PFAS report card found these chemicals in all 50 states, but industrial regions like the upper Midwest had the most sites.
We hope that Congress is listening. Budget cuts for EPA, as well as DOD's cleanup program, have real consequences and would likely delay protection for millions of people exposed to PFAS.
I'm Mark Richardson. Find our 8 trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Friday, September 8th, and another beautiful day to have you up here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Or you might be joining us on the app or the pod or the social media places. However you got here, welcome up north to the State of Wisconsin Sense, where we unpack the news each morning. Now let's tell you about what's on tap. First off, we are going to make clear that we are coming to you live from Lake Wissota. And we got some things to say about that because somebody was definitely not impressed about hearing that yesterday. But on tap this morning, when you embolden Nazis, look, it's not necessary for a politician to openly call for support from members of hate groups, but when people in those groups start openly supporting the politician, he might have a problem. We'll talk about that with Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national correspondent, who will also talk about the national attention being put on Wisconsin, specifically Wisconsin Republicans, for even considering impeachment of a newly elected state Supreme Court justice. In our second hour, we'll talk about the right way to do tax relief. We'll talk to State Assembly Representative Mike Baer of Verona about Democrats offering alternatives to the Republican plan, which is to cut taxes for the very rich. The alternative is to expand the homestead and the earned income tax credits so that working families in the middle class could maybe benefit from the state's record budget surplus as much or more so than those folks making, you know, $500,000 or something like that. We'll talk to our usual Friday suspects. Mark Jacob will help us break down some of the national media coverage of the week's events. And Dan Schumacher will be here to talk about sports before we wrap things up. We will get a weatherology forecast as well for the weekend. And along the way, if you've got any comments or questions or want to join us in some way, shape, or form, here's the way, the shape, and the form. 844-967-2789. The email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Or put a comment on our live stream playing on one of your favorite Facebook pages, Civic Media, Up North News, Bull Falls Radio, the Tap FM here in Chippewa Falls. However you join, we'd love to get your comments. And of course, if you use the telephone, you're going to hear first and foremost either from Aaron Zommers or Sam Davison, both of whom continue the long process of trying to not frighten away a potential new producer. Aaron, how are you?
Doing well. And you know what? Now that you mentioned hearing either of our voices with the phone, maybe I'll force him to answer the phones today.
Well, I'd say force him to answer the phone. It is part of the job. He probably knew that going in. Aaron, how are your phone skills? Do you consider yourself a pleasant, well-spoken person?
I think so. I think I've had enough.
I was asking Sam. Sam,
you said Aaron.
Is Sam a,
you said Aaron.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I said Aaron, but I'm looking at it. You can see I'm looking. Look at
yeah,
look
sure.
the camera. There's
the
eye contact.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty good at answering the phone. I feel like anyone can do it.
Well, let's tell you what. Let's practice it right here. The phone is ringing. You're about to pick it up. What do you say? No, the phone's not actually ringing.
Oh,
it's a hypothetical. Yeah. Sam, come on, man. I'm calling you up. Ring, 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 ring.
Thanks for calling in to Up North News. Can I get your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, that was pretty good. I would call you.
Right.
I think now, folks, anybody who's going to call in first here, by the way, now that you've heard Sam at 844-967-2789, now that you've heard what a pleasant young man he is, don't tie up all this time talking about the weather or the fish you caught yesterday. I mean, we got to get you up on the air. We got a radio show to do. So I don't let Sam's dulcet tones lull you into thinking that he's the guy you want to talk to. You want to talk to the rest of us out here. So, Sam, can you promise us that? You're not going to tie people up for, you know, 15 minutes or more getting their name and where they're from?
I'll do what I can.
That's all I can ask of you, buddy. Okay. Thank you for that. So there you go. 844-967-2789 is how you'll get through. And you could ask for either one of them. We could make it a contest too. We're not below that in any way, shape, or form. Let's see. We've got temperatures around the state, and they're pretty consistent this morning up here on Lake Wasota. It's 57 degrees. It's 58 in Madison. Waukesha coming in at 55. La Crosse 59. Wausau 54. It's 55 in Rapids. Ashland is actually the warm spot by the lake up there at 61. And just down the road, Hayward is the cool spot on this list at 47 degrees. And again, that full weatherology forecast is coming up soon. The NFL season kicked off last night, and we don't really have a Brewers update because they were off yesterday. They open up a series in Yankee Stadium starting tonight. But the NFL season got going last night. And when it was my bedtime, it was about halftime, and the Kansas City Chiefs were comfortably in control, looking like they were going to be able to, as the defending Super Bowl champions, be able to defeat the Detroit Lions. Didn't work out that way. The Lions actually spoiled the Chiefs' celebration by defeating the Chiefs 21-20. In the opening game of the NFL season. Of course, Packers-Bears coming up this Sunday. The one thing I did see both live and in the highlights this morning is there are preseason games, but they don't really count because, again, football has a lot of big hits. Yeah, the quarterback's not in there very much. And so for those first 2-3 weeks, you see a lot of bobbles, a lot of drop passes. In this case, there was a pick six by Detroit against Patrick Mahomes. So we're going to have some rough play, even though it is a division game for the Packers taking on the Bears. And again, your fantasy football team, yours and mine, we're doing this together, had no players in there. Some other people had a very bad day, but that's another story. Wherever you're listening across the state of Wisconsin on this beautiful Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be back in just a moment.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combined to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
An RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Boy, I'll tell you, doesn't William Shatner sound a lot younger? Well, that was 57 years ago. It was on this day in 1966 that the landmark science fiction series Star Trek first premiered on NBC. Didn't run for very long, but certainly made an impression, leading to movies and then spin-offs and then way too much William Shatner for my liking. We'll have more in today's history lesson and music break coming up in just a minute. First, a reminder that Up North News merch is here. There are t-shirts, there are tote bags, and more. One of them asks the eternal question, am I up north right now? And we also have one that gives a proper Wisconsin description of a bubbler. To see that and more, head over to upnorthnewswi.com and click store in the top banner, and we'd appreciate you heading over there. You can always, while you're there as well, sign up for our newsletter. You can do that by clicking newsletter in the top banner. So again, you can click newsletter, subscribe to the newsletter, click store, and you can get a t-shirt or a tote bag. And then you can also click support us, because Up North News, being a separate entity from Civic Media, we also, every couple of times a year or so, remind people that Up North News does not have a paywall, never had one, never will. But for the coverage that we do for Wisconsin stories, politics, headlines, people, and so forth, we always appreciate folks who are willing to support local news in some way. So we hope that you'll head over to the homepage, check out what we're doing over there, and again, provide us our support, your support, for which we are very thankful for. We'll talk a bit more in our next segment about the impeachment chatter about Janet Protasiewicz. Kia Vakil will talk about some of the national attention that is coming to that area. But fair to say, we mentioned about this time yesterday that a couple of Republican legislators are already trying to at least downplay the possibility. But as we heard from Joe Zepecki yesterday, you could probably still call it a 50-50 proposition at this point to see if Republicans would actually attempt to nullify an election. But we'll talk to Kia in just a bit about what national media has been saying as well. We are aware of news reports that the chief clerk of the Wisconsin State Senate, Mike Queensland, is no longer the chief clerk of the Wisconsin State Senate. But because so very little has been said by Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu or anybody else for that matter, we're only left to speculate on what led to the breakup between Senate Republicans and their chief clerk. So we do know that there's been that development in the legislature, and if we learn more about it, we'll certainly pass that along to you. It looks like Vice President Kamala Harris is going to be coming to Wisconsin again soon. She plans to visit UW-Madison as she tours college campuses this fall, part of an effort to mobilize younger voters on topics like abortion and gun safety and LGBTQ equality. It's part of a trip that's dubbed the Fight for Our Freedoms College Tour and will hit about a dozen campuses in seven states. The first three will be at historically black colleges and universities, starting with Hampton University in Virginia on September 14th. The White House has not yet announced a date for the stop in UW-Madison, but UW-Madison is not sponsoring the event and is referring all questions to the White House. Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin in early August, and that was her fourth trip to the state since taking office. Expect to see a lot more of Vice President Harris and President Biden, and perhaps the eventual Republican nominee if he's not tied up with court dates and things like that. Yesterday, as usually happens on Thursday mornings, right after this show, I appeared on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau, which if you're not in the Wausau area, you can still catch through the Civic Media app or going to civicmedia.us and listening live there. But Chad was asking me about a debate that came up there yesterday. And apparently similar debates or talking points are coming up about the potential for mask mandates returning. And that there are now bodies out there, county boards or what have you, that are looking at passing resolutions saying that they will defy or are at least opposed to any mask mandate. Now, it has been clear for a couple of weeks that COVID-19 is on the rise again, because, again, as this thing mutates, it occasionally finds its way into people. Yes, people who've been vaccinated and boosted, that's what happens with a mutation. But because people have been vaccinated and boosted, even though the number of cases are up and the number of hospitalizations are up, it's not nearly the near guaranteed death that COVID was before we had a vaccine and before we really knew how to treat it aggressively, the way that can be done now. So many people tend to have forgotten about how in those first 6 to 9 months, we were all feeling around in the dark, and we knew we had to do whatever we could to prevent the spread of it until we could figure out how to get inoculated from it. And so you did see masks and you did see social distancing, and a lot of that was mandated, as it should have been. We are talking about public safety and saving lives. And yet, because of ding-dongs like Donald Trump and so many others, so many people needlessly died because they expressed skepticism or hostility toward basic health safeguards. Well, so now we're seeing this again in places like Marathon County saying, we're going to defy any mask mandate. There's no mask mandate coming. There's no mask mandate coming from any place. It is the Mexican caravans of the 2023 political debates. It's just the latest scare tactic. And that's only one of them. What did I see about Ted Cruz railing against a limit on beer? Let me see if I can find that one. Ted Cruz, he was talking on Fox News and saying that there's going to be some kind of a limit on beer. Here it is. Ted Cruz said, quote, "These idiots want to limit drinking to 2 beers per week. These are health guidelines that suggest adult men should limit alcoholic drinks to 2 or fewer per day, while adult women should stick to 1 or fewer today." But of course, that never stops somebody like Ted Cruz from conflating a guideline with a mandate. And the same could be said about masking. That to give a guideline is to say, in so many words, and forgive me for being direct, hey, dummy, here's a guideline. If you don't want to die, maybe consider doing this thing, which could impact your health. Now, it's up to you. Nobody's going to slap a beer out of your hands. Nobody's going to hogtie you with a face mask. These are guidelines that you could follow. And by the way, other places, not the government, but other places have the right to institute rules for coming into their place of business or their home or whatever and saying, you know, my roof, my rules. But don't mistake that for a government mandate. It is just the latest thing out there, along with this, whatever the hell this silly beer thing is, that is just out there to get people ginned up and angry about this or that. And it's not happening. Now, I will say this much, and I said this on Chad's show yesterday as well. If something entirely new comes along, I mean, we didn't know COVID-19 was coming until it was pretty much on the doorstep. What's to say there couldn't be something else? It would be awful. It would be a tragedy. But something else could come along that we don't have a treatment for, that we don't have a vaccine for. Now, if that happens, and it turns out that it can again be easily spread, you know, as a respiratory virus or you know, somehow do something where masking would keep people from dying, that's a separate matter altogether. Then, of course, the masking and the social distancing and all of those things should come back. But let's all pray that that never happens. But that's an entirely separate matter. When it comes to COVID-19, when it comes to what we have right now, there are no mandates. What there should be, as I told the audience yesterday, what there should be is more of a public service campaign that says, hey, it would be a good idea for you to mask up. You know why? Because we're coming up on cold and flu season. Do you know what happened to the cases of influenza in those first 2 years of COVID? They cratered. People weren't getting influenza so much because they were wearing masks. They were social distancing. People weren't dying of the flu. Last year, people were again dying from influenza. So masking's a good idea if you're going into, you know, a big, you know, grocery store or some other big public place. And I'd love to see more campaigns that, again, take away the stigma of the mask. Because, yeah, there's going to be some goofball that's going to go, well, why are you wearing that mask? But if it's a good idea, you're going to do it for the same reason you put on a seatbelt, for the same reason you don't drive drunk, what have you. Mark in Prairie du Sac has a comment, I believe, on this topic. Mark, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. And I saw COVID come in from a perspective of just starting chemotherapy back there in 2020 in March of there of 2020 where it came in. And I have had no problem wearing a mask. But first, it was hard to get a hold of them. And social distancing back there from just being immune-depressed anyway back then when, you know, doing the chemo. But it's just ridiculous, the animosity toward masks, especially from one political party here in Wisconsin when one of their, you know, stalwart members just about died from COVID. I mean, that I hear these same fools are, you know, protesting against, you know, they're protesting about mask mandates back then and, you know, talking, you know, kind of almost dissuading people from getting vaccinated, and it just is ridiculous. I mean, aside from all the other ridiculousness that they're promoting these days, that I mean, they've been bullies, they've been large and in charge for too long, and they think they can push people around. Yet, then I think it's been part, and you know, to go to a different political topic, I think it's been reticence as far as prosecuting the people for their election fraud, because you let them get away with it, they think they can get away with anything, and now we're hearing threats from Mike Huckabee about, you know, if Trump isn't on the ballot, there's going to be bullets flying. And how are we supposed to react to that as rational, caring human beings?
I mean, for all this nonsense. I could not agree more. And in fact, I'm going to ask Kia Vakil about that in our very next segment about Mike Huckabee doing this. Mark, thanks so much for the call. Hope you have a great weekend. Appreciate it when you come visit us and anybody else can at 844-967-2789. And so to put it in terms that Mark was leading up to, in terms of how long they've been around, been in the majority, been controlling the public debate, it appears they are drunk with power. So if anybody needs to put down the metaphorical beer, it is Ted Cruz and some other Republicans. Back with Kia right after this. You're up north.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The death toll rising in Morocco after a 6.8 magnitude earthquake hit overnight, centered in the High Atlas Mountains. More than 1,000 people confirmed dead so far. Reports of heavy damage to buildings in the historic city of Marrakesh. ABC's Lama Hassan has more from the foreign desk in London.
Now the urgent rescue effort underway as they desperately search for survivors, with reports of families still trapped in buildings. The hospital's overwhelmed and overflowing with the injured. Officials are pleading with people to donate blood.
At the G20 summit in India, President Biden offering condolences to victims of the earthquake in Morocco and pledged U.S. aid. He's meeting on the sidelines today with world leaders, talking about ways to tackle climate change and invest in developing countries like Africa. Extreme heat still gripping much of the country, along with volatile storms that swept across Pennsylvania, New York, and New England. Another round of storms expected through the weekend. This is ABC News.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Fig Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
All right, we're back now. It's a Thursday morning, 6:33. Joe Zepecki is with us. We missed him last week, so we've got a few things to catch up on. Not that we would ever be bored here at the intersection of news and politics in Wisconsin. Welcome back. Hope it was a good trip, travel woes notwithstanding.
San Francisco is lovely. Don't believe the nonsense you hear on Fox. Little word of advice, though. Don't get stranded at the San Francisco airport for 21 hours when all you are offered for your trouble is a $15 food voucher. Because at that airport, two tacos cost $19.
Oh, see?
That math doesn't math.
No, it does not. That's terrible budgeting. But we'll talk about budget issues in just a minute here. Well, I suppose the place to begin is the new favorite parlor game in Wisconsin politics. Will they or won't they? And I'll ask it in a biased manner. Will they, Republicans in the Wisconsin legislature, will they really be dumb enough to try to impeach somebody from the state Supreme Court who hasn't heard a single case yet?
They might. I wish I could answer otherwise. Mm-hmm. I wish that we could look at the Republican caucus and Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, and that they would have learned the lesson of trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election, and that they would have taken their medicine and understood that part of the reason that Tony Evers is still governor, part of the reason that Ron Johnson barely got a victory, is because of the nonsense that they engaged in through Gableman and false electors and all of it, trying to undo the results of a free, fair, safe, and secure election. I wish that was the case, but here we are. And despite the fact that Janet Protasiewicz romped to victory over Dan Kelly, here the Republican Party once again is trying to overturn a free, fair, safe, and secure election. There's just no other way to look at it. You know, are they playing politics? Of course they are, right? Dog bites man, water wet, sky blue, film at 11. But this is nonsense. It's dangerous. It's unprecedented. And we should take this very seriously and respond very forcefully and warn Republicans in the space of maybe the only thing that they understand, which is political peril, their own. Republicans have lost 14 out of the 17 statewide elections in Wisconsin since Trump won here in 2016. So the age of Trump has not been good for them. The era of questioning political results and overturning elections has not gone well for them. If they want to lose 17 out of the next 17 elections, go ahead and tell the voters of Wisconsin that they, the Republican legislators, know better than the people of Wisconsin. And let's see how that turns out. That's where I start this conversation from. There's obviously a lot more to it, but top line, this is political insanity if they were thinking about their own fortunes long term.
So when that is the type of messaging I'm sure we're going to hear. We heard it from, you know, folks with the Democratic Party and with other groups that are going to launch a multi-million dollar campaign to let voters know about this kind of political mischief going on. But I feel like I have to ask one, I don't know, housekeeping or perception question, if you will. Now, Justice Protasiewicz has said that she would recuse herself from cases directly involving the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, because even though she's not a Democrat, she didn't run as a Democrat, she did get, the Democratic Party did put forward millions of dollars in support of her candidacy, as opposed to putting it in her campaign account. Now, with the Democratic Party coming out and saying that they are really going to go publicly to bat for her, does that risk having people say, oh, well, then she obviously is political and obviously does need to recuse herself? Does the blowback that the Democratic Party wants the public to see, does it get its own blowback?
I don't know that we should spend our time talking more and more about the politics of this. I think what your listeners should understand is that in the campaign, when Janet Protasiewicz said that she believed that the maps were created for partisan political advantage by one political party, calling them rigged maps, and saying that she would be open to taking a new look at them, that was the judicial equivalent of declaring that grass is green, that the ocean is blue, because in a federal case, a federal court has said that the Wisconsin maps were engineered for partisan political gain. Speaker Robin Voss, Republican legislator, under questioning by Democratic State Senator Kel DeRoyce in Madison, in the Capitol, under oath, acknowledged the existing maps were created for partisan political advantage. It is not a controversial statement. It is a statement of fact to say that these maps take into account partisan political advantage on behalf of Republicans. And so that's what we should be talking about. Everybody else gets to have their say in this, whether they are Republican legislators, whether they are political parties. But we should not lose sight of the fact that it is a fact that the map lines were engineered for partisan political gain. Janet Protasiewicz what's saying so is not controversial. It is not grounds for recusal. It is simply a statement of fact.
Can we get to the recusal here and just take a moment to appreciate Justice Rebecca Bradley? Appreciate how much she is for recusal of one of her colleagues now compared to her feelings about recusal back when conservatives were in control. I mean, that is a level of hypocrisy I feel is worth celebrating, or at least shining a light on.
Yeah, I don't know that we should celebrate it, but we should certainly call it out. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that people are so frustrated with our politics is the lack of consistency. And I'll be the first to, you know, to try to call my own party to account, or people who I typically agree with to account, if they are not being consistent and are engaging in hypocrisy. But right now, Justice Bradley is taking the cake. You know, when we look at the way that conservative members of the state Supreme Court are conducting themselves, it's leaving a lot to be desired, whether it is the Chief Justice racing to, you know, news outlets to share internal communications and emails, or, you know, litigating and arguing in the media as opposed to with her colleagues. This is no way to run a railroad, and it is not good for people's confidence and faith in the institution. And I, you know, if you're out there and you're wondering what to make of all this, I think you should stop and ask yourself, who is doing more to undermine that confidence? If you're feeling a lack of confidence, think about the people responsible for that as opposed to the people trying to do the right thing. I think that's a pretty clear distinction between the two blocks on the court right now.
So you have said that you've, in so many words, you said what Todd Alba said yesterday when I appeared on his show, that he's talked to Republicans in the Capitol, and he puts the odds of actually doing an impeachment vote at 50-50. And you've said pretty much as much. What kind of a time frame are we looking at? When do we think something like this might happen, and at what point do we say, okay, they're not, this isn't actually going to happen?
Oh, I think the month of September is absolutely crucial. In the next few weeks, if you are as outraged by this assault on the democratic process as I am, and as I think Pat is, you need to call your legislators and say so. Especially if you are represented by a Republican, they need to hear from the people of Wisconsin that this is nonsense. That you cannot declare yourself for impeachment before a newly elected state Supreme Court justice has even ruled on a single case. No one has even alleged that she has engaged in activities that reach the constitutional threshold for impeachment of a judicial officer under the Wisconsin state constitution. They're not even pretending that she's done anything that rises to that level. And so if in the next couple of weeks, enough Republicans hear enough of that message from their constituents, they will fold. They will walk away. And then this case can make its way through the courts. That's the ultimate irony here is, number one, they don't know how this case is going to play out. I don't either. I'm not an attorney. I haven't examined the particular legal arguments that this case is bringing. If they are flawed, faulty arguments outside of the bounds of our laws, state and federal, I would expect that all seven justices would throw the thing out. And if they are sound arguments, consistent with federal and state law, and these maps are thrown out and new maps are created, guess what, folks? It is still going to be more likely than not that Republicans hold majorities in the state legislature. That is the way that we live and that our communities and the individuals who make them up are sorted right now. There is just no outcome here that leads to a rigging of the maps for Democrats. The best outcome is fairer maps that have more competitive districts where Democrats and Republicans have to make their case to the people of Wisconsin, and then they decide. But I've studied these numbers enough and know enough about politics to know we ain't trying to re-engineer this here to get the same kind of advantage Republicans had. We just can't do it. And so let your legislators know time is of the essence, because there is a big date later this year that sort of trips a trigger for some downstream activities. Should they impeach and should she be removed? Should there be a resignation? Should there be a vacancy? December 1st is a big date. But I think the fact that Republicans are floating this trial balloon now means that we have just a couple of weeks to really shoot the idea down and make clear to Republicans there will be a political price to pay if they move forward with this.
Now, interestingly, in a couple of weeks, that's when we expect the legislature to have any kind of a fall session where there's even a slight possibility of productivity. But although I have certainly said on this program, and I have an editorial out this week about how Republicans are not exactly being helpful, shall we say, when it comes to the child care crisis, when it comes to a middle class tax cut, when it comes to fixing the penalty box for certain school districts, when it comes to addressing the worker shortage. So you understand why, if they're not able to win any of those debates on the merits, then you have to crank up the outrage machine, whether it's about Justice Protasiewicz or Assembly Speaker Robin Voss the other day passed along a bill in the California legislature and said, well, this is what's going to happen. Shoplifters and criminals are going to take over all of our stores. It just could not be more stark, the difference between wanting to get some work done and wanting to divert from doing any work.
Yeah, we face a child care cliff, and it's approaching at an alarming rate. The legislature could do something about this. The governor is ready to make a deal. The legislature could deal with a middle-class tax cut like the one that Governor Evers proposed in his budget. Instead, they're talking about a constitutional amendment to, prevent any future tax increases for a million years unless there's a two-thirds majority. They're trying to change the rules of the game again, when what we should be talking about is a middle-class tax cut. It makes you wonder what they are so afraid of. Why won't they get to work and engage with the governor and find solutions that work for Wisconsin families? That's what they should be doing. And so my message to folks is tell them that you're frustrated by their impeachment talk, but also remember that they are making choices. They are choosing to focus on the things that they are hollering about and not on the things that families need. And you got to remember that next November.
Finally, Packers Bears. Who do you got?
Packers, no question.
But
I don't care. I don't care if Rodgers has moved on. We still own the Bears. He transferred the ownership deed to Jordan Love before he cleaned out his locker. I have it on good authority.
Are you feeling that optimistic about the Badger season after you saw the first game?
I have a lot of questions about the new era of the Badgers. I was very sad to see Jimmy Leonard go. I do not like the way that transpired. Doesn't mean I don't want the best for Coach Fickell, but there's a lot of work to do. That offense has some glaring question marks. The defensively, really concerned about the lack of a pass rush last Saturday. They've got some time to get right, but they better get right quick, because that Big Ten season is going to be tough.
Joseph Pecky, he's an analyst. He'll analyze a lot more than politics if you let him. Joe, thank you very much. Have a great start to the weekend.
Thanks, Pat.
And when we come back, today's history lesson, a little music break. I think we'll get Kristen Lyerly in here, Selena Heller, before too long as well. This is Up North News Radio for a Thursday. We'll be right back.
With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combined to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
From your window,
Dan Schumacher's here. So, what dead tune are we learning today?
That is Bertha.
Okay.
Ding ding ding.
Aaron, you're never going to be able to stump him. I mean, keep trying.
I know.
No, I actually we're rather impressed. Anyway, Dan Schumacher joins us from Northland College up in Ashland. We'll talk a little sports here because. A kid who grew up in Chicago bars is probably a little happy with, bear season is opening up and, you know, the Cubs are still chasing the Brewers. But I want to start with this. You can't see my computer screen, but we have something called Slack because we're scattered all over the country. All of us at Courier Newsroom and Up North News are scattered around Wisconsin. And on some of these chats, I get a little note in the corner of my screen. Well, I put a note up in the fantasy football one about one of the Kansas City Chiefs who did not, shall we say, did not have a stellar first game. It says here, Kadarius Toney finished with one receiving yard, negative one rushing yards, four drops, one of them leading to a pick six that KC lost by 1 point. It legitimately might go down as the worst performance any skill player has all season. And all I'm getting on my screen now, Dan, is all of the trash talk across the Courier Newsroom Fantasy Football League about one player and one game. And that just tells you people are ready for the NFL to be back.
No doubt. I mean, it's the first game of the year. I was having a conversation with people in my office, and who did you like? I actually like Detroit Lions to win the division. So for them to go on the road and get a 1 point victory down versus Kansas City, you know, Super Bowl contenders, I thought was pretty impressive. But yeah, that guy had a bad night.
But you know, a lot of them did. There was a lot there. And I said earlier in the program, and I probably mentioned this a year ago, you know, football can't have a genuine preseason because of the contacts and everything else. They're not playing flag football in the preseason, but it's not the same. And so those first, I would contend, three games of the season, it's almost, you almost wish there was never a division game in there, because that's where you do see, right, to put it politely, the kinks are being worked out, you know?
I agree with you on that. I thought in the last collective bargaining agreement with them that they were going to shorten up. They compromised. I thought they were going to shorten it up by lengthening the season. Mm-hmm. So adding two more games to the season, less two games in the preseason. But they only went to three preseason games with one extra regular season game. I just think, you know, the preseason is about the guys that are trying to make the team, that are trying to make the last 15 spots on the roster, you know. And, you know, you're not going to see an Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to see a Justin Fields playing in these games. It's not worth it. And when they do, then the people are outraged that a player got hurt. A starter got hurt in a preseason game. So there's so many arguments to it, but in the end, it's the first week of the season. Detroit won, and on to the Bears-Packer game, 3:25 on Sunday.
Yeah, there will be some attention paid to it. It is a division game to kick off the season, and I think it's fair to say question marks all around. You know, Jordan Love, of course, is the biggest one. What will he come out of the gate strong? You know, will he be able to say what his two predecessors said in Rodgers and Favre, to essentially look at Bears fans like you in the eye and say, I own you.
Yeah.
Will Jordan Love be able to bring out that same emotion in you, Dan, as Favre and Rodgers did?
Well, if it happens again, another Hall of Famer, three Hall of Famers in a row, I might switch teams.
Wow. Good thing I'm recording this. Jeez.
But, you know, I still have hope for this weekend for gaining a game or tying it up with the Brewers, though, with the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, the Brewers, they'd won 9 in a row, and now they've lost 5 of their last 8, and so there's going to be drama all the way through. Pull out my little paper schedule here. Somebody still has to have these on their refrigerator, and yeah. So I'm one of them. So they're in the Bronx. Brewers taking on the Yankees tonight, and then tomorrow afternoon and Sunday afternoon. Then they're home for 4 games against Miami, Monday through Thursday. And then the Washington Nationals come to town. So that's 7 games at home that the Brewers should not be dropping. I'm not saying they should win them all, but you know, when you go to Pittsburgh and lose 2 out of 3, that's not a good sign, and that only helps the Cubs' odds.
That's right. I really believe it's going to come down to that last series. And I think, isn't the last series with the Cubs?
It is. After
Is it a 4-game series?
It is a 3-game series, but they come out of that next week's homestand. They go to St. Louis for 4 games. Now, St. Louis has had a terrible year, but these are still division games.
Right.
So it's 4 in St. Louis, then 3 in Miami. Then they come home to wrap up the season with 3 at home against St. Louis and 3 at home against the Chicago Cubs. So, I mean, it's coming down to the wire. And we've seen tiebreaker games before. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it? That would make life interesting.
Wait, I don't know. I'm getting to an age where I worry about ulcers and things like that.
I'm still trying to figure out what Bear jersey I'm going to wear on Sunday.
Oh, what are your choices?
I got Buckus. I got Jim McMahon. I got Walter Payton. I just don't know. I know they're going to be doing something with Buckus at either he's flipping the coin or something like that. He's honorary captain. I know that. I just read that online. So
I think you go Butkus. Butkus is the way to go. I think you open up the season with a classic.
Yeah. But and then ain't bad either, though.
I'll be curious to see just again how Jordan Love comes out, and is everybody in a Love jersey by the end of the season? Does Christian Watson, does he recover from whatever is nagging him and bust out, or Aaron Jones? There's a lot of potential out there. College football-wise, the Badgers are playing at Washington State tomorrow night. Catch that game on the Civic Media Radio Network on WRJN in Racine, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WLAK in Amory, and WRCE in Richland Center. If you go to the Civic Media app, and you call up any one of those stations, like WRJN and Racine, you'll be able to listen to the Badger football game. It'll be streamed on the Civic Media app. Going to be another good weekend for college football.
Yep. Everybody's opening up. I mean, everybody is playing. So we'll be, by the time we get to Monday, football season will be in full swing, both pro and college. And, you know, looking forward to see what the Badgers look like against real competition, in my opinion. You know, Washington State is a Pac-10 team. I don't know what you call it. It's Pac-10 or whatever.
Pac-2, whatever's left there. Yeah,
they're going to be wind up with left out of the whole deal as an independent then.
I know. This whole thing's going to be such a mess. Yeah, so we'll just enjoy the game instead. So, yes. All right. Have a great day up there. We'll talk to you later, Dan.
Talk to you.
See
you.
All right. We will see you. Have a very wonderful start to the weekend. Coming up on Monday, we're going to have our friends here from Motherhood for Good talking about Gun Violence Prevention Day of Action that is coming up. And a special guest, a pediatric clinical care physician, a critical care physician at the Medical College of Wisconsin, to help us inform us that far too many people, especially kids, are losing their lives to gun violence. That's coming up on Monday. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning, 6 a.m.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory
ABC and WBC News.